You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
I'm so thrilled about this series. It's hard to believe we are 11 weeks into 2026. 11. This is the 11th Sunday. We've only got 42 left. When you begin to think about it in those terms, or actually 41. Yeah, 41 plus 11 is 52, right? 41 Sundays, man, they're just flying by. We just lost one. And here we are in this yearly theme of empowered, talking about the Holy Spirit. Very unusual to be in a Baptist church where a pastor is saying, for 52 weeks, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. That's not a normal Baptist subject for 52 Sundays. But that's the kind of church you're in. We're emphasizing the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit. And next Sunday, and for the next few weeks, the victory of the Holy Spirit. We're going to enter into a series next week called Villains and Victors of the Passion Week. Josh is going to bring the first sermon next week, and then I'll finish the series with two sermons before we have Easter Sunday. We're going to discover that there is victory in the Spirit. And the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, who overcame every enemy, turned the darkest hour into the greatest event in the history of Christianity, in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that you have living inside of you if you are a child of God. That's a powerful thought. And so this morning, although it is bittersweet to be finishing the series in the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, I pray that God would use this final message. It's fitting that we're in Acts chapter 13, because really from Acts 13 to Acts 28, not much changes. And you'll see that in just a moment. You see, today we come to the final message, and if there's one thing we've learned in the book of Acts, is that the book of Acts literally does not allow the church to do some things. I'm going to list a few on the screen. Number one, Acts will not allow believers to grow comfortable. I mean, I cannot preach a sermon in the book of Acts that says, let's take a Sunday off. Just take a breather. I know the Lord's working, but maybe we just need, you know, we need to take a break. Too many people are getting saved. Too many people are getting baptized. You don't see that in the book of Acts. All you see is momentum. You see the church advancing. You see the church moving forward. And the book of Acts will not allow the church to become stationary. No such thing as a stationary church in the book of Acts. No such thing as a clock in on Sunday morning and clock out at the end of the service and we'll see you next Sunday and serve God again. No, the greatest work in the book of Acts is not done in the church house. It's done outside the walls of church. It's moving. There's momentum in the book of Acts. Acts refuses to end with a church sitting still. In fact, we've said this multiple times in this series, that the book of Acts does not end with the words, the end. Because it's not over. Literally and truly, we are the book of Acts. Gospelite is Acts 20:26. Because the story of Acts does not end with comfort, it ends with momentum. That's what it ends with. Look, you know, I believe this. I say this with full confidence based on what I'm studying in the book of Acts. That you know you're in a church that's modeled after the early church when there's a lot going on, when there's a lot of opportunity, when they're planting churches, sending people out, when there's a lot of movement in the church. You're in a church that's modeled after the book of Acts. That's what we see here. Because empowerment was never meant to be the destination. Empowerment was meant to be the engine, the fuel. And the Holy Spirit does not simply come so we can feel something. The Holy Spirit comes so we can do something. Too many Christians looking for a feel-good experience in church. We just want a spiritual high for a couple of hours. I felt something this morning. It feels good to be in God's house. I like that song, that old song. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God. I like that. But I want you to know something. When the feeling leaves, I need to be out there working and delivering the gospel and sharing the good news and passing out flyers. He didn't come just so we could feel something. He came so we might do something. And what we see from Acts 13 all the way to Acts 28 is this truth. That when the Spirit empowers the church, He creates missionary momentum. That's what we see. That's why this is the last sermon in the series. I could keep preaching through the book of Acts, although we need to start a new series. I could keep doing it, but not much would change. It's from Acts 13 till the end. It's the same stories in different cities. The church is advancing because empowered people do not drift. Empowered people are directed. They're not wandering aimlessly through life. They're moving intentionally with the purposes of God. This is why it's so important for us to understand that we are clearly instructed in the Word of God not to drift here and there, but to be intentional about what it is God is calling us to do. So I've given you a specific job this week. Pass out 6 cards. Amen. Pass out 6 cards. Be intentional about that. Don't look at those cards as just pieces of paper that, you know, are insignificant. No, those cards could clearly be the reason why somebody comes to church, hears the gospel for the first time, prays, and trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what God wants for Gospel Light. Empowered to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, are you ready? Before we step into the message this morning, a little more foundation here. I want you to see something very powerful that we've been seeing all throughout the book of Acts, and that is this statement, filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen once. It's not a one-time thing. Salvation is a one-time thing. But being filled with the Holy Spirit happens again and again and again and again. In Acts 2, at Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit and the church was born. In Acts chapter 4, Peter was filled with the Spirit and he stood boldly before his opposition. He said, if you remember, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You can put us in jail, but we're going to keep on talking about Jesus. Where did that courage come from? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 6, we see servant leaders were chosen because they were filled with the Spirit. Deacons, elders, those of you in positions of leadership, we should be filled with the Spirit or resign our position. It's so important that we understand that we, in order to do our job the way that God would have us to do it, cannot do it in the flesh. We have to do it in the Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was martyred. He was stoned to death. But as he was filled with the Spirit, he was willing to stand even to death as the stones fell on him. In Acts chapter 9, Saul the persecutor was filled with the Spirit and he became Paul the missionary. In Acts chapter 10, the Spirit fell on the Gentiles. We saw this last week and it proved that the gospel was not just for the Jews. The gospel was for the whole world. Amen. That includes us. Amen. That includes America. Thank God the gospel reached America because people were filled with the Spirit. And over again, they needed the filling of the Spirit, and so do we. That's why for 52 weeks, I cannot wait to share with you more about what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But now we come to Acts 13, and something changes. Something shifts in the church. Something happens for the very first time. Because up until now, the members of the church had been filled with the Spirit, but now the Spirit begins sending them out into the world. They were filled with the Spirit, but now God is sending them. They're going out into difficult places and other cities and towns and villages and sharing the gospel because the church is empowered to move. The church is empowered to go. The church is empowered to endure. The church is empowered for the mission of Christ. Because empowerment is not the destination. Empowerment is the fuel. It's the fuel. It's the engine of the church. So I want to give you 3 actions to take as we consider to be empowered to be directed by the Holy Spirit. These are not little suggestions. This is not just a 3-point outline for you to say, well, that was cute. Well, that was alliterated. No, this is life change. These 3 action steps will help you to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Number 1, we must submit to the Holy Spirit's sending. And before you think for a moment that this message is just for those who are going to go to the mission field, or very specifically for just those who are going to be sent out here to plant a church. No, this is for every person in the building. You need to submit to God sending you this week to whoever it is He wants to send you to share the gospel. Sometimes it's across the street, sometimes it's across the ocean, but it's no different. It's still sending you. The Holy Spirit has somewhere this week for you to go for His name and for His glory. For the first time in Acts 13, the church does not simply spread the gospel. The church begins to send others out of the church to spread the gospel. I want you to see here in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Look at it. It says, as they were worshiping the Lord. Time out. I think that's significant. As they were worshiping the Lord. So while they were worshiping the Lord, by the way, what did we just do? What have we been doing? Worshiping the Lord. It started when you walked into the church and you felt the fellowship of God's people. And I love fellowship, don't you? I enjoyed the first 15, 20 minutes of the church. I got to meet some new friends, shake some hands, greet some people, see some loved ones. It was awesome. That's worship. And then we got to worship in song and music, and we had a prayer time. That's worship. Now we've opened the Word of God. I'm preaching the Bible. That's worship. Some of us have had a chance to give to God and give to the church. That's worship. All of it's worship. And while they were worshiping, in the middle of all that, the Bible very specifically says, the Holy Spirit said, in the middle of the worship, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. I mean, the Spirit did not speak in a board meeting. He didn't speak in a strategic planning session. By the way, I've got a college board meeting this week on Tuesday. And I'll go to that meeting. I'll have an agenda. I'll have things the board needs to vote on. We're having a strategic planning session for Good Friday. We've got 7 scenes on the Good Friday service. 7. We've got a script that we've written. We've got songs we're singing. We've got a lot of cues that need to be followed. Look, it requires a meeting of the minds to figure out how we're going to make this happen. I'm not against board meetings, and I'm not against strategic planning meetings. They're necessary, but I want you to know something. That's not how the Spirit spoke here. The Bible says they were worshiping the Lord. They were seeking God. They were focused upward while the Spirit was speaking to them outward. And this is what's happening this morning, whether you realize it or not. Here is a truth that every church needs to remember. Mission is born out of worship. We are not here today simply to have a worship service. We are here today to motivate, to inspire you to go out of this place and be a witness for Christ all through the week. Amen. This is not a one-stop shop. This is not, well, that was good. Good message, nice message. I can't wait till next Sunday. What about tomorrow morning? Anybody up for tomorrow morning? Anybody in for finding out where the Holy Spirit might be leading us Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? Does it just have to be Sunday? God has a plan for all of us in this building. It's born out of this ministry, of worship. Because when the church fixes its eyes on God, the Spirit begins to send people into the world. Spirit-filled churches do not hoard people. Spirit-filled churches release people. This is what we see all throughout our campus. 2 years ago, God allowed us to release about 30 people to the Lake Hamilton campus. It was hard. I miss seeing those faces. I miss them. I know where they sat. They're not sitting there anymore. Where are they sitting? 25 minutes away from here. Oh, yeah, they're right across town. They're in another building. It's called Gospel Light at Lake Hamilton. Hey, last week they had 103. Amen. You say, how did that happen? The Spirit sent. The Spirit sent people. We're not here to hoard. We're here to send. And then we realize, wait a minute. Years ago, God sent people from this congregation to start our Spanish-speaking campus. Right across the street on 3rd and South, where we used to meet. Now the Spanish congregation meets. It's called Gospelite Espanol, or whatever the word is. I can't say it right, but I need to learn it. I got 2 daughter-in-laws that speak Spanish. I need to do better at that. About 6 months ago, God sent people from here to Park Place. I miss Shane and Katrina. I miss seeing Pete. I miss seeing Piper, your daughter, and Myron, your future son-in-law. I miss them. They sat there every Sunday, inspiration to me. Guess where they are now? Your daughter's running the nursery, and your son, your future son-in-law runs the security department. You say, well, that's where they are? Yeah, yeah, they're just 5 minutes away. We sent them. We sent them across the street in our own town to reach more. And guess what? They had 60 people last week. Started with 12. Now they've got 60. And then not long ago, a few weeks ago, and I miss, how many of you miss Chris and Phyllis Conley? Oh, my goodness. That was a hole to fill. You say, where are they? On Lakeshore Drive. They're at Gospel Light Lakeshore Heights. They're serving with others, and we're having a launch service on Easter, and I've already had five families sitting in our services this morning that have said, preacher, we feel sent to go help them. Praise God. Praise God. That's what we're called to. We're called not just to be a church that hoards, but a church that sends people. And God is doing something miraculous. I don't know where this is going or how far it will go or how many it will be, but I know this. The Spirit of God works where people are willing to send. Empowered churches do not ask, how do we keep everyone? They ask, who is God calling us to send? I want you to notice something very clear here in Acts 13, verse 3. It says, then after they had prayed and fasted, or fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. We've done that, haven't we? Have you seen our church ever lay hands on someone? Last month, we did it twice. We did it to Freddie and Angelica, right? You guys went to Honduras, and I went with you, and we took a group to the country, Ashes to Life, and we laid hands on it, and we sent them. And then we laid hands on Josh a few weeks ago as he went to L.A. and ministered in the inner city of L.A. with an organization called Hoops Bus, but God used him in a great way, and we saw that in real time on a video he sent back to us. Man, I love a church that's willing to lay hands on people, pray over them, and send them out. It's scriptural. It's not spooky. It's not something we thought of. It's actually in the Bible. But notice the next verse. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Interesting, isn't it? What we see here is, and I want you to notice quickly, the church laid hands on them in verse 3, but the Spirit sent them in verse 4. And the moment they stepped into obedience, the moment they said, yes, God, we'll go, resistance happened. By the way, every time our church gets momentum, resistance happens. We're experiencing it right now. You say, well, Pastor, I can't tell it. You look like really happy and joyful. It must be a great week. This was one of the hardest weeks I've ever had. We had 600 students here in our international program. It's been crazy. We haven't slept much. We've been working and ministering, laboring, and trying to figure this thing out. Man, I'll tell you, when God moves in a church, you can expect there to be resistance. My wife always reminds me. We'll get in the car sometimes. She'll say, man, God's moving out of church. Put on your seatbelt, honey. It's fixing to get challenging. She's right. Every time God moves, even sometimes it's been sickness in our family, things that have happened. I'm not sure if it's a Job situation where Satan's going before the throne and saying, yeah, I know what Capace. Yeah, you just make his wife sick. He'll give up. He'll quit. Give him a special needs kid. You think he's on fire? Just make it hard on him. He'll give up. I'm not sure how it works. All I can tell you is that when you determine to follow Jesus with all your heart, opposition's coming. I know that according to the Bible. Look at it in verse 5 of Acts 13. Arriving in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. They also had John as their assistant. And when they had traveled the whole island as far as Paphos, they came across a sorcerer. Who? A Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and wanted to hear the word of God. Look at this. So they've got someone that wants to be saved, wants to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, that's the meaning of his name, opposed them. He tried to turn the proconsul, the governor, the man Sergius Paulus, away from the faith. Opposition. And so they arrive on the island of Cyprus. They begin preaching the word of God. And immediately, as soon as they begin preaching, a man named Elymas, a sorcerer, begins opposing them. He tries to turn this governor away from the faith. Whenever the Spirit sends someone forward, something always tried to push them back. Remember that. Whenever the Spirit pushes forward, opposition tries to push back. But I want you to notice what happens in verse 9 of Acts chapter 13. Look at it. On the screen it says, But Saul, also called Paul. By the way, time out. That's the first time we ever hear the word Paul. There it is. His name was Saul, right? Now it's Paul. There's a transition here. Something's happening. And it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. There it is again. Someone has said, and I'm not sure this is true, but it's interesting. And maybe he was given the name Paul because his first convert was named Sergius Paulus. Not sure. Would be kind of cool though. And so Paul confronts this question. Paul confronts this man with Holy Spirit authority, this Elymas, this sorcerer. Paul confronts him head on with Holy Spirit authority. And I want you to see the results of this in Acts 13, verse 9. But Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at Elymas and said, "You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, you son of the devil, you enemy of God, you enemy of all that is right. Won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Now look, the Lord's hand is against you. You're going to be blind. You're not going to see the sun for a time." And immediately, as soon as that came out of Paul's mouth, immediately a mist of darkness fell on him. And he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Whoa! That's intense, isn't it? Then, when the proconsul, when the governor, when Sergius Paulus saw what happened, he believed. Do you see, church, that when we push back against the enemy, God works through that and he saved the governor. The gospel advanced, the kingdom of God moved forward. This is the pattern we see all throughout the book of Acts. The Spirit sends, opposition comes. The Spirit empowers again. The Spirit sends. Resistance rises. The Spirit strengthens again. All throughout the book of Acts. Because missionary momentum is not the absence of opposition. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit's authority in the face of it. That's what it is. You know what it is? It's saying when the devil comes and tries to pull you back and pull you down, "Not today, Satan. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You've messed with the wrong guy today. I'm so full of the Holy Spirit, you can't stop me. I'm so full of the Holy Spirit." Why do you think the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? What we need is courageous Christians that are willing to say, "Not today. I'm going to push through this opposition." And this is what we see again in the book of Acts. Because if the Spirit empowers us, he will always push us beyond our comfort zones. And empowerment is not given as a preservation. It's given for proclamation. And the Holy Spirit is still sending people today. He sends people to speak the gospel. He sends people to serve others. He sends people into uncomfortable places so that Christ can be known. So the question is not, is the Spirit sending? The question is this: are we willing to go where the Spirit sends us? Three actions we need to take. Number one, submit to the Holy Spirit's sending. Number two, follow the Holy Spirit's steering. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to steer us in the right direction. The problem is sometimes we're holding so tightly to the wheel, he can't take us where he wants to take us. So follow his steering. What do I mean by that? Well, let's follow along in the text, shall we? The mission of the church begins to expand and something begins to happen. And by the way, it's happened here. It'll happen again. Maybe it's happening now and we'll soon find out. Tension arises. Did you know when there's momentum, there's always going to be tension? Did you know when a business is growing, tension will come? When a church is growing, tension will come? There's going to be these moments where we have to be willing to take head on the serious challenges that sometimes come when we face momentum. The church was spreading, lives were being transformed, but some believers from Judea, as we'll see in the text, had arrived with a very troubling message. Here it is, Acts 15:1. You ready? some men came down from Judea and began to teach the brothers. Unless you're circumcised according to the law, unless you're circumcised according to the custom prescribed by Moses, you can't be saved. Anybody else kind of concerned about that? Amen? I mean, I'm concerned. What they were really saying was this, is grace is not enough. Jesus is not enough. You've got to add law. You've got to add tradition. And suddenly the church was faced with a critical question. Suddenly the church is faced with a very serious challenge. Is salvation by grace alone or grace plus something else? And verse 2 tells us what happened next. Acts chapter 15, verse 2. Look at it. Paul and Barnabas had engaged them in serious argument and debate. Let's talk about this. Let's have a meeting. Let's discuss this. Paul and Barnabas and some others were appointed to go to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem about this issue. Why were they appointed? This was about the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is something we must understand, church. Empowered churches do not avoid difficult conversations. They pursue gospel clarity. Sometimes false doctrine will try to seep its way into the church. Sometimes false teaching that almost sounds like, well, what's wrong with that? And if we begin to allow things that aren't in Scripture to become issues in our church, we will find ourselves drifting away from the truth. We got to be willing to have hard conversations sometimes. The early church did not ignore the issue. They didn't divide into factions. Instead, they did something remarkable. They actually talked. They gathered together. They listened to testimony. They searched the Scriptures. They sought the guidance of the Spirit together. How do you know that, Pastor? Because later, in the same chapter, they make this beautiful statement in Acts 15, verse 28. For it was the Holy Spirit's decision and ours not to place further burdens on you beyond these requirements. Think about that. The church did not move by pressure or personality. They moved by Spirit discerned direction. We are to be empowered to be directed. Can I say something about unity? Unity is not the absence of disagreement. Please know this. We're going to disagree. Unity is not the absence of disagreement. Unity is alignment around the truth. The Holy Spirit does not sacrifice truth for harmony. He creates harmony through truth. And the reason this matters is because the mission of the church depends upon the message of the church. If the message becomes muddy, the mission becomes unclear. If the gospel becomes unclear, then the church loses its authority. Missionary momentum requires doctrinal clarity. That's why we got to talk these things out. Several times in the history of our 34 years at Gospel Light, we've had to get together as elders and leaders and say, hey, there's a concern. We had a concern not long ago, a few years ago, where seeping into our church was this thinking that the gospel is limited to only those who have been predetermined to be saved. Everyone else has no chance of ever being saved. They're born to go to hell. It was tough. These were good people. These were people who I respected, people who were theologians and had written books, and it was definitely something I wanted to take time, not just to spew my feelings without getting into the Word of God with others around me and say, hey, oh, is this, I mean, I respect these people. Is this teaching what we should be following? And so we dove into a study on is the gospel whosoever will? Is the gospel truly for everyone, or is it just for those who have been predetermined? We came to the conclusion that no one is beyond the reach of the gospel. That everybody has a free will to make a decision to say yes to Jesus. And the fact that Jesus may know who all is going to be saved doesn't change the fact that you still have a free will to make that decision. And so we continued as a church. Oh, we had several leave. It wasn't a split. About 12 people left the church. It was difficult. It was hard. I didn't want it to happen. But I knew we had to make sure that, as opposed to just taking a position without taking time to gather together and study the scriptures and make a decision based on the word of God together, our church could have been led astray. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that we are empowered to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And there's an application for every believer here. Because there will be moments in life when your path is not obvious. Moments when decisions are complicated. Moments when emotions are high and opinions are strong. And in those moments, we must learn to pause and ask a simple but powerful question. Holy Spirit, what are you leading me to do? What are you trying to teach me? Because Spirit-filled people are not self-directed. Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led directed. We don't move by impulse. We don't move by pressure. We move by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number one, submit to the Holy Spirit's sending. Number two, follow the Spirit's steering. And number three, and in closing, rely on the Spirit's strength. Rely on the Spirit's strength. Now, what we're going to close with, we're going to come to what I believe to be one of the most revealing moments in the entire book of Acts. Paul and his team of Barnabas and others are moving forward with the mission. They're planting churches. People are getting saved. But something very surprising happens. Are you ready for it? Acts 16, verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When I first read that, Mark, I was confused. I was like, why would the Holy Spirit forbid somebody to speak the word anywhere? Are you listening? But in Scripture, it's clear. The Holy Spirit, who said yes in Acts chapter 13, said no in Acts chapter 16. And then listen to the next verse. It says when they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. One direction, closed door. Another direction, closed door again. And here is something every believer must learn. That empowered people experience closed doors. Sometimes God closes a door. Sometimes the Spirit's guidance is not a green light. Sometimes the Spirit's guidance is a red light. I've experienced this before. Did you know that I'm here today in Hot Springs, Arkansas? Not because I wanted to be here. I wanted to go to Little Rock. Can I tell you some church history that you probably don't know? Gospelite actually started in Benton, Arkansas. I'm coming to Hot Springs, too small. I'm from New Orleans. I went to school in Chicago. I served in L.A. This city's too small. I want to be in a big metropolitan area, man. That was my vision. Seriously, did you hear what I said? My vision. So we're in Benton. Guess where we met at? Exit 118 for 1 year at the Days Inn Hotel. You know this, did you? It's pretty cool. 1 year. We saw people saved. You know where we baptized? In the pool. Without permission. Oh, yeah. He said, who towels did you use? The hotels. They got a lot of towels. Perfect. And, oh, it was great. We paid $50 a week for their room, for their little hotel room, or meeting room. We grew to about 130. It was incredible. But what was happening is a lot of people were driving from Hot Springs. I'm looking for property in Little Rock. I'm trying to find churches that are closing down, and I'm looking for buildings closer to downtown where the people are, where the big city is. It's what I wanted. Until somebody in our church said, you know, Pastor, I'm not trying to be nosy or anything, but I know you're trying to move to Little Rock and start a church in Little Rock, but just curious, you know, we got a lot of people driving from Hot Springs, and I just Can I make a suggestion? I said, what's that? They said, do you reckon maybe God's closing the door since you can't find a place, and maybe God's opening a door in Hot Springs? And man, it was like the Spirit of God just came over me, and I thought, I am pushing for what I want, not what God wants. Shortly after that, God opened the door for us to buy a building and start the church here and plant the church here and grow the church here. And I want you to know, I got a red light to go to Little Rock and a green light to come to Hot Springs. It wasn't my desire, but it was what God wanted. And I'm so glad that I walked through an open door that I thought initially was a green light that wasn't a green light. It was a red light, because sometimes God closes doors to open the right ones. And then in verse 9, we see something incredible that happens. Chapter 16, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, cross over to Macedonia and help us. And after he saw the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And suddenly the no to Bithynia, the no to Mysia, the no to Asia became a yes to Macedonia. They now understood why God said no, because God had a better yes. Listen, God's yes is better than your yes. Yes, I will, we sang a moment ago. Oh, listen, what a powerful, powerful message. The Spirit was not blocking progress. He was directing purpose. Because the Spirit does not close doors to frustrate us. The Spirit closes doors to focus us. And here's the truth worth remembering, that God's closed doors are often open doors to His directional purpose for our life. Sometimes God says no, not because the mission is wrong, but because the direction is wrong. And empowered people keep walking until the Spirit shows them the way. This is the story of my life. Why am I in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas for 34 years? Don't you think we've had opportunities to go other places? God keeps closing that door. So we're staying right here until God says otherwise. And you know what? I'm glad we did, because God had a plan. He wanted us to merge with a bunch of other churches in the city. And I'm having the time of my life. I'd like to ask our worship team to come forward. And as we close the service, I want to ask you a few things. And just real quickly while they're coming and getting set up, I want to review the series with you. Week one, we saw the promise of power. In week two, we saw what it means to truly be empowered by the Spirit. In week three, we learned what it meant to be empowered at Pentecost when 3,000 people got saved and baptized. In week four, we learned what it was to be empowered with courage. In week five, we saw what it meant for the Spirit to clean house. And by the way, I think the Spirit is cleaning the house. And that's why we're going to sing in a moment a song about the holiness of God. In week six, we were guided by the Spirit. In week seven, we saw how the Spirit transforms our lives. In week eight, we saw that the Spirit transforms our lives for God's mission. In week nine, last week, we talked about the Spirit breaking down the barriers that come between us and oftentimes His perfect will. And today, empowered to be directed by the Holy Spirit. But I think the real question throughout the book of Acts is not really how did the Holy Spirit work in the early church. It's how is the Holy Spirit working right now? Because we're just a continuation of the early church. And may we quit talking about the early church as the ones who did it, and may we be the ones who continue to do what they taught us to do. That's what the book of Acts is all about. It's not an example to be admired without following that example. Because the Spirit still works today. The Spirit still sends. Did you know that? He's sending people out of our church right now. He may send you across the street or across the ocean, but He's going to send you. He may send you into difficult conversations this week. He may send you into a new season of obedience. The Spirit still guides. He still steers us. He does it through Scripture, through the church, through conviction, even through closed doors like he did me. And the Spirit still sustains and he strengthens. When opposition arises and when plans collapse and when the doors shut and you don't understand what is God doing, the Spirit gives you strength not to quit. I'm only here for 34 years, not because I have the power or the strength within my own wisdom and ability. Listen, I'm here today because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question. If the Spirit sends, will you go? And if the Spirit steers, will you listen? And if the Spirit strengthens, will you follow? Would you answer those questions privately this morning in your seat where you're at? And if the Lord would lead you to come to the altar and pray, we want to open it up. We're going to sing a closing song and give you an opportunity to respond. If you've never been saved, we encourage you today. This is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Say yes to Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He cares for you. He paid the penalty on the cross for your sins. And today can be the day of your salvation. And if you know Jesus, then would you be willing for him to send you this week into the city of Hot Springs, in the highways and byways of our city, and pass out these flyers? Let's make a difference this week. May 2,000 invitations land in the hands of people that we intentionally prayed about. May God lead us, and may we follow him in obedience. Let's bow our heads for prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing and how you're working in our church. Lord, I pray that you bless this response time, this closing worship song. But more than that, I pray that at the altar we would be sensitive to do the work that you're doing in our hearts right now. If there's anyone that needs to come to the altar, Lord, may they feel liberty to do that. May they be sensitive to do that. But if it's just simply kneeling at the altar of their heart, where they're standing or where they're sitting, that's okay too. So God, do whatever you need to do. May we respond accordingly. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. Direct us right now, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, shall we?